from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. It is a good morning indeed. The Rob Brown Show on your radio, 6 a.m. on a Tuesday. It's August 20th. It's week zero of college football. It's week negative one of the NFL. However you want to put it, football just days away, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome in. Great to have you. Happy Tuesday. Hope you're having a fantastic week so far. My name is, of course, Rob Brown, live from the Bro Cave in the Casa de Love, back in, listen, I promise you, Lonzo, I promise you, of course, the great one, Lonzo, the Sultan of Sound, the Professor of Perfection, the Wizard of Wave, back in the network studio, I promise you that I'd rather be there than here. I mean, as nice as it is to wake up out of bed, to grab that early morning hot shower, and then to just stroll 6 feet down the hallway and be at work. And I'm not going to say that's not nice. I'm absolutely team work from home. I like.
Wow. Do you live in a tiny home? 6 feet down the hall? Really? I mean, it's just.
I mean, from bathroom door to Bro Cave door, it's across the hall.
Oh, okay. All right.
Many of you think that I have. I haven't quite made enough money to live in a home that has wings yet. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to walk from the personal wing to the office wing or suites or anything like that. Well, I got a bathroom, and then I got a spare bedroom that got turned into a studio. Yes, it's a short jaunt down the hallway from my early morning activities to sitting down in the chair to go to work. And don't get me wrong, I kind of dig working from home. It's like every now and then, I think everybody should work from the house and give themselves a chance to recharge. But with the reason that I am working from home, great one, I would trade coming every day to the office for 6 months, weekends included, if it meant that I could avoid the reason that I am working from home. It's a little chaos over here in the Casa de Love, is all I'm saying. But we're gonna get through it. We're gonna be just fine. So live from the Bro Cave at the Casa de Love, and the other half of the show, of course, is the great Milanzo back in the Palatial Fan Upstate Studios. We are excited to have you guys along for the ride. 4 hours of the most electrifying sports talk entertainment that you will find anywhere at any time today begins right now. And what a day we got lined up for you. We got a lot of baseball to get into today. On the show is the Atlanta Braves, a probably much needed day off yesterday from the Major League Baseball schedule after they had a West Coast swing that included 7 consecutive games against the San Francisco Giants. And then, 4 against the Giants, 3 against the LA Angels for a 7-game stretch out on the West Coast. They now return home, but it is a massive 3-game set that the Bravos begin tonight against the NL East leading Philadelphia Phillies. And wouldn't you know it, despite the fact that it has been a bit of a down year for third baseman Austin Riley, still a massive loss as Riley has a wrist injury confirmed by MRI yesterday. Austin Riley will miss 6 to 8 weeks of service time to the Atlanta Braves as he rests in rehabs from this injury. We're going to talk a little bit about the impact that that is going to have on this team. Losing a guy that I have said a number of times, I think has got NL MVP caliber. I think he's got NL MVP capability, NL MVP talent. And I think he's finished inside of the NL MVP voting, inside the top 7, like 7 consecutive times or some stupid number like that. He's a young cat, and I think he's still got that time in him. He's only 27 years old. I think he's got the time in him and the talent in him to reach that top-tier echelon of MLB players. It just hasn't been his year, all right? And who amongst the Braves isn't that true about, with the exception of Marcell Ozuna, right? Like, Ozuna has had a good year. Outside of Marcell Ozuna, really, who's been the guy? There's not one. And you kind of kept waiting for Austin Riley to be one of those guys that, when the lights shone the brightest, was going to step up and answer the call. And he just has been unable to do so this year. So this is it is definitely a loss. But there's also a part of me, because I am a dumb person, there's also a part of me that, despite the fact that I have sounded the Bravos alarm on the show multiple times, despite the fact that I've hit the panic button on this team multiple times, and I still am, don't get me wrong, I have now come to the conclusion that even if the Braves make the postseason in that final wildcard spot, which, you know, listen, I told you 4 weeks ago that I thought they were going to give up the wildcard spot. I was correct. In fact, I was correct before the end of that week when I said on a Tuesday afternoon from ACC Media Days that I thought the Braves were giving up the number 3 wildcard spot. I was correct. They gave it away to the New York Mets. Now, granted, it was only for a night before they were able to get it back, or really, I shouldn't say they were able to get it back so much as the Mets gave it back, but they got it back. Since then, they have been surpassed in the wild card race by both the Arizona Diamondbacks and the San Diego Padres, both out of the NL West. They have held on to that 3rd wild card spot ever since then, however. However, the Mets are right there, 1.5 games back. And now you got a 3-game set against the Phillies. A 3-game set against the Phillies that, as Ralph Wiggins once said on The Simpsons, I'm in danger, because I do think they are in danger, because while this team is going to be going out there and taking on the Phillies, you've got on the flip side the New York Mets. The Mets, a team that are, again, just 1.5 games back, are currently setting up to go through one of the easiest stretches of their schedule. Granted, it is not the next 3 games, because they are set to go against the Baltimore Orioles, one of the best teams in baseball. But once they get through that, they've got a little bit of a respite. The Braves do not. It's about to pick up for about a week and a half for Atlanta. So this three-game series against Philly becomes infinitely important. I've come to this weird spot where I'm asking, okay, what are the expectations for this series, right? The good news, bad news here. The bad news is you don't have Chris Sale available. He just went, which means that you're going to have to bump him back into the rotation. Chris Sale will step onto the bump when you get set to take on, who is it, the Nationals? The Rockies in the next series. No, I was right. The Nationals in the next series, another three-game homestand before you go on the road to Minnesota. You'll get Sale, Morton, and Lopez in that rotation. The good news is Reynaldo Lopez is back from that forearm inflammation that forced him to go through a AAA rehab stint. You get him back, he's on the bump tonight for you. The bad news is you're going up against the aces 1-2-3 for the Philadelphia Phillies in this spot. You are going up against a very good set of pitchers in Wheeler, Nola, and Sanchez that have been pretty much decimating everybody they've come up against. It's going to be a tough spot. It's going to be a tough spot. I think that, and I haven't done this yet, but I think I'm comfortable doing it here. We're going to talk again a little more in depth about this three-game series coming up later in the show. I think I have reached the point where I am comfortable saying about this series, if the Braves win 2 out of 3, then I think there's cause for justifiable mild optimism. Mild optimism, because you're still going to be looking like probably the fifth or sixth best team in the National League overall. But if you can take 2 out of 3 at the house against Philly, I think there's cause for mild optimism. If the Braves drop 2 out of 3, I think at that point, I can write the season off as a wash. There's injuries left, right, and center over and over and over that just won't stop. Austin Riley, of course, becomes the most recent after taking an HBP off the fingers the other day, 6 to 8 weeks, as we mentioned. You have had just about every other offensive starter not named Ozuna or Olsen that has missed some level of time. And at some point, it's not even about the guys that are out and for how long they are out. It's more about the fact that it is impossible to build chemistry. It is impossible to build timing when you got guys that are checking into and out of the lineup over and over and over and over and over and over. And that has been the Braves season so far. So as we get to the spot where we've got about 40 games left to play in the regular season, the Braves are in a wild card spot right now. They are a long ways out of the NL East crown, but they are a game and a half up on the Mets. The problem you bump into is that a game and a half up on the Mets can be gone quite literally in one night. One night, it can be gone. And getting anything less than second place in the NL East, and honestly, even second place in the NL East doesn't guarantee anything yet, but getting anything less than second place in the NL East is a ticket to Cancun, as the new expression goes, to describe teams that fail to meet the postseason or fail in the postseason. If you don't check in precisely in exactly one spot behind the Philadelphia Phillies, there is no postseason run for the Atlanta Braves. I think we've already seeded the NL East streak. I think that streak comes to its conclusion this year. I do not see a land in which the Braves are able to catch back up to Philadelphia. Philly's playing too damn well. They're playing good baseball. I don't think there is a way that you are catching back up with this team. But I do think overall, you are looking at a squad here in the Atlanta Braves that's good enough to make the postseason. And I will say that making the postseason we'll see, give you some level of mild optimism. Optimism light, I think, is the way that I'm going to put it. Optimism light. Making the postseason can do weird things. Last year, the Arizona Diamondbacks were lucky to get in. And I'm air quoting that, right? Lucky to get in. The Diamondbacks were lucky to get in, and then they got through the wild card round, pardon me. And in round number two, they drew the mighty LA Dodgers. Remember, this team was a team full of G's last year. They drew the Dodgers, and just about everybody with a microphone started saying, "Congratulations, LA. Good job, good effort, Arizona. Good run to get here. We're proud of the attempt. We're proud of the effort." And all they did was go punk the LA Dodgers. In their house, by the way, as the road team, punk the LA Dodgers, get through the NLCS, and make it to the World Series last year and win it. But they got there. And so, to me, if you can get to the postseason, if Atlanta makes the postseason, I won't immediately write it off as a, you know, who cares? Who cares that we made it? We're not going to. Weird things happen in baseball's postseason, especially considering everyone who gets the number one seed fails. Everyone who gets the one seeds do not win in Major League Baseball's postseason, to the point that I floated a theory yesterday. I'll give it to you guys later and see if there's any baseball fans in the audience that want to chat. I think teams are actively avoiding the one seed right now. I think teams are throttling down. I don't think anybody is pressing right now. I don't think anybody is out there stressing themselves out trying to get the one seed. I don't think they care, because the one seed's been a death sentence in the playoffs for baseball teams. So, you know, weird things happen in the postseason, like the fact that one seeds just can't seem to make it through. And if that's the case, just get there. Just get there and see if the right guys get hot at the right time and kind of change the winds of fortune, if you will. But I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. If the Braves drop two or more out of this three against Philly at home, if this is in Philly, I probably feel differently about it. But it's in Atlanta. If this team drops two or three of three from Philadelphia, I'm going to go ahead and say I personally will be ready to write off this season. If they take two out of three against Philly and keep themselves in the mix, I'll feel a little bit differently about it. All right, there's some baseball talk for you. We got a lot of football coming up on the show today. We are going to take a look up and down the mighty Southeastern Conference. We're going to take a look up and down the Big Ten. We'll give you some projections, prognostications, and picks from the Big Two conferences coming up later in the show. We'll get some NASCAR in here as Tyler Reddick wins the 400 yesterday at Michigan International Speedway. We'll update you on the playoff standings in NASCAR and more. It's all coming up. He's Lonzo. I'm Rob. And you are beautiful and listening to the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The Rob Brown Show carries on. It is the Fan of State Tuesday morning, ladies and gentlemen, and we are rocking and rolling. We don't need to necessarily spend a ton of time on this, but I thought this was. I'm conflicted on how I feel on this, because this is one of those fun spots where my realism and my idealism are bumping heads on this one. The Atlanta Falcons pick up edge rusher Matthew Judon. They get him from New England in return for a third round pick. And that's a massive, massive pickup for the Atlanta Falcons. Of course, they turned around the very next day and they were able to add two-time Pro Bowl safety Justin Simmons to the rotation as well. So in 2 days, Terry Fontenot picked up two Pro Bowlers on the defensive side of the football, which was what all the Falcons fans were super duper upset about, right? They went and got a quarterback with a top 10 pick, did not address the defense. It made the Falcons fans quite upset. Well, in 2 days, Terry Fontenot corrected that situation. In 2 days, Terry Fontenot picked up two NFL Pro Bowlers to stack to bolster that defense, which is a bit of a coup for Terry Fontenot, so to speak. All of you fans together should be pooling your money together to send Terry Fontenot an edible arrangements for the moves that he made last week to end the week on behalf of your defense. Well, the reason that Matthew Judon was available was because Matthew Judon, a former New England Patriot, was unhappy about the contract situation staring him down in New England. Judon was set to make a base salary of $6.5 million this season. He wanted more with a capital M. The Patriots were unwilling to give it to him, which to some degree makes sense, that the Patriots weren't going to be held hostage by a guy who didn't play last year. He had a torn biceps. He was out for the season. He did register 15 and a half sacks the season before that, a career high. So he comes to the Atlanta Falcons. He joins this squad. And yesterday gave his first interview as a member of the Falcons, where they are currently trying to work him into the defense. He did so with Joe Patrick of 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. Of course, a co-worker, a friend of the show, Abe Gordon of 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. And when he was asked about that whole situation, he said, hey man, you come down because you didn't get the contract you wanted in New England. You are still on that contract now in Atlanta. Are you going to hold out here as well, or are you going to play? Are you getting a new contract? Have you discussed it with Terry Fontenot, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And Matthew Judon said, quote, "The Atlanta Falcons don't know me as a football player. They know my history, so I can't demand something I haven't worked for," end quote. He said, basically, they don't know me. They took a shot on me, so I am going to play under the contract that I am currently under, which is that base $6.5 million per year. I'm not going to ask for an extension or a raise here because I haven't earned it here, even if they came and got me from a place that I feel like I did earn it. Is this a is this admirable out of Matthew Judon, Lonzo? Because on one hand, like, yeah, of course it is, right? Like, it's admirable. He would get to the new team and go, yo, I've done nothing for you guys, so I'll go out there and earn it. On the flip side, he's on a one-year deal for $6.5 million. I mean, if something happens to him this year, if he ends up with a popped ACL, MCL, whatever, he's not protected for the future. Atlanta could cut him, and he's back to making zero dimes per year. Is this admirable, or looking at it through an adult lens, kind of foolish from Matt Judon?
I don't know. I think it's just business, and we don't know what they've told him behind the scenes. Maybe they've told him, hey, we're not going to sign you to anything long-term unless you can prove it. And so you take the high road in front of everybody, you know, just to make it look like you took the high road. I don't know if that's the truth, but still, how many other players have bet on themselves and won? I mean, I think the percentage is high as far as the guys who bet on themselves and actually were able to get a better contract.
I mean, I think it feels that way because, by and large, the guys who take that tack of I'm going to bet on myself and earn a new deal, by and large, the guys you hear about are the stars, right? You never hear about the third string left guard fighting for a roster spot who says, I'm betting on myself. Like, yeah, okay. I mean, of course you are. You're a fringe NFL player. You don't really have a choice, right? Nobody else is betting on you. You either make the roster or you don't. But I get what you're saying. And, you know, look, the guy's a talented football player. There's no doubt about it. It's not so much that I don't think Judon will put up the numbers to get a fat contract next year. I don't think it's that he won't put up the numbers that prove that he is worth that sort of money down the line. It's more along the lines of if I was a player knowing that there was the possibility that something could go wrong. There was the possibility that, you know, I break a leg, or I have an ACL pop, or I tear an MCL or whatever. Something that could end up becoming a long-term injury. It's just as easy for the Falcons to kick me to the curb next year and move on from me than it is to re-sign me to a new deal, right? Now, I will say it stands out. This is kind of the antithesis of what feels like the attitude that we get from most players these days, where it's, you know, it's here comes the money, here comes the money, 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 and they do the weird shame it man kick backwards thing. On the flip side, and this is something that I've said in years gone by, doesn't it kind of make sense to be like that? When we know the shelf life for most NFL players, what's the average NFL career is like 4 years right now? Like, the average NFL career is 4 years, which also means that about half the guys don't make it to 4 years, right? Actually, it's probably more than that. So if that is the case, I've never really faulted players for trying to get the bag, for trying to get what's a fair market value for them. Even if it resets the market occasionally, it is a massive respect to Matthew Judon, who is, by the way, kind of like the anti-Hassan Reddick right now, right? Like, Hassan Reddick got picked up a couple of days ago by the Jets. That's not even that much of an exaggeration. It was like a month and a half, 2 months ago, gets picked up by the Jets, immediately demands a new contract from his new team. They are saying no. And he's like, all right, trade me then. I don't want to be here either, right? Like, he just demanded a trade from Philadelphia, gets traded to the Jets, immediately says, I'm out. And keep in mind, the reason I bring up Hassan Reddick is because Hassan Reddick, when he was traded away from the Jets, from the Eagles, the Falcons were absolutely in on the Hassan Reddick sweepstakes. They wanted that guy. They made a big play for that guy. They ended up not getting him. And now you end up with a dude that, if nothing else, the Falcons fans are going gaga over right now, right? And I get it. I get it. When a dude shows up and he says, hey, yo, I ain't played here yet. They ain't seen me. They rolled the dice. They came and got me when I wanted to get God. So I'm going to give them the benefit of a one-year team-friendly deal, and then I'll figure it out. I respect that. That's just, I understand guys who decide not to make that push. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. We'll get some more NFL in the opening hour of the show. Hour number two, going to be a lot of college football. It's all coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, with you, rolling through 4 hours of sports talk excellence here on the show this morning. We're talking some NFL here in hour number one, as we are now just a wee bit over a week and a half away from the start of the National Football League season. Some of you guys are fantasy football fiends, and I respect those of you that still do it. I bailed out of fantasy football a handful of years ago, and it's not because I don't love fantasy football. I do.
Is it because you're really bad at it and you just decided?
No, quite the opposite, Lonzo. Okay, I think I've told you this before. I know ball. And in knowing ball, pretty good at fantasy football. The problem bumped into by yours truly was that once I start down the fantasy football bandwagon, winning fantasy football becomes an obsession. It just becomes an obsession. It gets to the point for me that not only do I have to win, but I have to win as much as possible. Yes, thank you, Charlie. The last year that I played, which was probably, golly, 7-8 years ago now, well, way back in my younger 30s, when I played the last time, I ended up 1 year in a spot where I was in 8 different fantasy football leagues, and my Sunday mornings consisted of getting up, and if you know me, you know this ain't me. My Sunday mornings consisted of getting up at like 8 in the morning to start setting rosters, to start evaluating matchups. And then we started having Thursday night games. And then we started having Saturday games. And then we started having, dueling Monday night. It just got to the point where it was like, it was a full-time gig for me to run my fantasy football team to like win, a couple $100 a year spread out between the 8 different leagues I was in.
All right, I'm a little confused. As a knower of ball, why would it require that much time to put together a roster each week?
Because
part... Shouldn't you just go check, win? I mean,
Does a lawyer, because he just knows the law? No. It's work. It's dedication. It's hustle. It's the grind to accomplish victory, all right? Because one of the other things I can say is that while Rob Brown knows ball, there's an old saying that you show me your friends and I can tell you who you are. My guys know ball too, all right? The boys know ball. The gang knows gridiron. And so if you want to knock them down, it takes the extra work, right? Patrick Mahomes is a spectacular quarterback, but he puts in the extra work. First at practice, last to leave it, right? First guy in the film room, last guy out. The guy's watching 10,000 plays a day. to grind and get better so that when he goes out on Sunday and he throws behind the back passes to Mr. Taylor Swift, he can make it look easy. That's not easy. That's only made to look easy by somebody who has been at the grindstone for years and years and years, my man. I know, Zoe, and so do you, that we make this look easy. It ain't. It's only made to look easy because we've put in the time to get damn good at it. Like, three-time South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year Award winners, good at it. That doesn't just happen. That is not given. It is earned, my man.
So you're saying, talent alone doesn't always do it. You got to put in work too. All right. I get it.
Correct. Welcome to the land of fantasy football. So I bailed out after I had a season where I had, I think, eight teams going, and effectively I was putting in Sunday mornings. I was ignoring other aspects. They say that, you know, doing something isn't bad until doing that thing prevents you from doing the important things in life, right? Like doing like having a drink here and there isn't a bad thing. Having enough drinks here and there that it prevents you from doing your job or paying attention to your family, that's where it becomes a problematic. That was fantasy football for me, so I had to bail out of it. But I still dabble in the curiosities of fantasy football, and I do so so I can help you guys out, all right? I want to be there for you. You got fantasy football questions? Fire them all. 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N. The text line is open this morning. 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N. If you haven't had your draft yet, you got any fantasy questions, holla at your boy. I'll do the best I can to help you. You can also tweet me at the Rob Brown Show. Tweet Lonzo at Lonzo on Word. Tweet us all at the FAN Upstate. So, yesterday, I went and I did a rundown, a conglomeration, if you will, of different fantasy gurus, and was looking at their fantasy ratings for different positions around the NFL. One of the reasons why is fantasy projections, while they very much could be wrong and frequently are, welcome to the reason that we play fantasy football, they give you a pretty good indication on what you can expect to see statistically out of guys, and you can then apply those things to what you expect those players to do IRL, as the kids say, when the boys strap them up in a couple of weeks and play some football. I started with Yahoo Sports because I was curious. They put together a panel of who they have deemed as their fantasy football gurus. And I did a little research. A couple of these cats look like pretty, pretty good fantasy brains. A couple of them looks like they're just kind of getting their start in the game. They have listed, great one, in reverse order from 10 down to 1, these as your top 10 2024 fantasy football quarterbacks in terms of expectations of points scored, etc. I'm actually going to top 11 this because the number 11 name makes me really intrigued.
Because these go up to 11, don't they?
Well, why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 the loudest one? But this one goes to 11. Good Spinal Tap reference. Much appreciated. We're well-rounded on this show, both physically and culturally. Number 11 on this list, great one, Jaden Daniels, the Washington Commanders quarterback, expected by the gurus to be the 11th best fantasy quarterback in the NFL this year.
Uh-huh.
That sounded like the beginning of a Gwen Stefani song. Uh-huh. Few times. Okay. Number 10, one spot ahead of Jaden Daniels, Dallas Cowboy quarterback Dak Prescott. checking in at the top 10. Number nine.
Well, wait a minute. Legally, you have to place a Dallas Cowboy in there somewhere. I mean, you know, it's sports law. Without a doubt, it's sports law.
Here's the thing. Dak's regular season last year, Lonzo, was really good. Really good. I think that's why he's on there. And I don't have a problem with Dak being on the list, even without that contract. Number nine, Joe M, Manem, Joey B, Joey Ice, Joe Burrow checks in at number nine, a spot behind Jordan Love of the Green Bay Packers. That one got me a little bit.
Wow, 1 year and all of a sudden he's okay.
Are the Packers getting, speak of the devils, are the Packers getting the Dallas Cowboy treatment here? Like we've got to respect the established, the historic franchises, or is this a Jordan Love story is very interesting, so we want to prop it up kind of ranking?
I think it's more about the propping up, because you saw Brett Favre while Aaron Rodgers waited behind him and suddenly did what he did. And now the fact that Jordan Love was waiting behind Aaron Rodgers and people think it's going to be a repeat. And after that first season, you know, it's a possibility, but it was one season.
It was. Jordan Love at number eight, Kyler Murray at number seven, according to the gurus.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Again, that's part of the game, right? Like, that's part of the game is the personnel. They've got C.J. Stroud checking in at number six, one spot behind number five, Anthony Richardson. So an AFC South battle, and the guy who didn't finish the year last year checks in one spot ahead of the guy who did finish the year and won that same division last year.
Yeah, that's a little bit surprising. You think at least those should be flipped.
You would think, but my other reaction is Anthony Richardson's a better runner than C.J. Stroud. He's a better open field runner, and I think that might be the difference. Lamar Jackson at number four, and this was a consensus number four pick. Every one of the six gurus that ranked these for Yahoo Sports, every one of them ranked Lamar Jackson number four. One spot behind great one, number three fantasy quarterback for this year, Patrick Mahomes checks in third behind, and here's what even makes that more fun. I know it's already going to be a gut check that Mahomes is third. It's whomst he's third behind. Number two, Jalen Hurts, projected to be the number two fantasy quarterback this year.
I don't even know how to address that. I mean, first of all, disrespectful, without a doubt. I mean, there's
obviously
there's no doubt. I mean, you know, we've already seen what he can do, Patrick Mahomes, as far as being in four Super Bowls, one in, you know, three. I mean, he's just been to he's just a better quarterback overall. I'm surprised is it the running thing again? I mean, because Patrick Mahomes, even though deceptively faster than you think, does not know how to run right. I mean, he just looks awkward when he runs. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
I think that's got to be it. Like, the thing is, though, outside of the occasional tush push, Jalen Hurts isn't exactly a wild runner either, right? Like if we were going to use that logic, Anthony Richardson, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen would all go ahead of Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes. Like, that would be the top four. So I do think that those statistics have to play into
Kyler Murray would be up there, too.
Kyler Murray would be up there. I do think who you are throwing to goes a long way in this discussion. And again, we saw some pretty good things, I think, I'm even willing to say, out of Xavier Worthy in the first half of that preseason game last week. But I also point out that, and I do this not just for the chefs, but for every team, don't get go-go-go-go-gaga over your guys yet, because it is the preseason. We'll see if it translates. It's a lot based on who you've got around you as well, which is why I also don't understand Jalen Hurts. Like, I know he's got the Slim Reaper. Where are they running the ball this year behind that offensive line that kind of struggled towards the stretch last year? It's an interesting list. And I'm curious as to those of you out there in Sportslandia that have been putting together your that you have been putting together your fantasy teams. How did you have these quarterbacks ranked on your draft?
Wait, did you say 2-1? I don't recall you saying 2-1.
2-1.
No, you said that Mahomes was at 4.
Right. Oh, you're saying in terms of Super Bowl records?
No. On the list, who was number 2 and who was number 1?
Oh, Jalen Hurts and number 1, Josh Allen, which I do not disagree with, actually, at least in terms of fantasy points quarterbacking, not because he's better, but because he's got to do it by his damn self this year. Josh Allen's going to be running for his life. He is going to be racking up rushing yards this year because he ain't got nobody to throw to. That's why he's number 1. That is actually the probably the only spot in the top 10 that I don't really have a problem with, because my man is on his own this year. On his own this year. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, top 3 sports stories that you need to know. And then we go college football analyzing. We did the ACC yesterday. We will do the SEC and the Big Ten today over the next couple of hours. All of that comes after Lonzo tells you everything you need to know about the sports world in this Sports Flash.
Or at least a couple things. Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa criticized former head coach Brian Flores during an interview with Dan Le Batard yesterday. Tua described Flores as a hypocritical, saying he's not only hypocritical, he's a hypocritical, saying that Flores openly questioned his ability and talent, stating that he hadn't earned the right to be an NFL quarterback. Flores entered multiple legal suits for discrimination against the Dolphins after he was fired and replaced by current coach Mike McDaniel. Los Angeles Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert was spotted practicing with the team yesterday, the first time he's been seen under center since being diagnosed with a plantar fascia injury. So we're going to see what happens there. Supposedly, he's going to be ready for game one. We'll see. Tune in this afternoon, 3 to 7 p.m., for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun. All Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.